Everybody, and after a 2 week hiatus, we are back with another edition of the Boston Hockey Pod. I am Sarah Kirkpatrick.
Andrew Batafrano.
And Judy Cohen.
And we are all here to talk some hockey again. It's been a while, and we are still all, I think, recovering from Red Hot Hockey. I'm still recovering from sleep and just the kind of weird result of that game. Like, it almost kind of is a deceiving result. Like, I don't have my head wrapped around it entirely. Because it was like a tie, but it felt like a win. So I'm still kind of recovering from that whole weekend. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, they didn't even tell us before the game if it did go into a tie after overtime, how they would handle it, because, there is the Kelly Harkness Cup involved. And we just kind of assumed that it would go to a shootout to just kind of determine it. That's what it ended up doing. But it was just a long day. I mean, the game started at 8, but we were up really early that
Yeah.
day.
Had to
Traveling
travel
from
over.
my house on Long Island, we all kind of hung out there. And then we had a pretty long day in the city. I think we had a pretty fun time. The game itself was pretty exciting. I mean, they got off to kind of, I mean, the first period was kind of a slog. Both teams kind of feeling each other out. And then Cornell jumps out to a 2-0 lead in the second. I think really from the middle of the second period to in the entire third period, BU really kind of took control. And we saw that on the scoreboard in the third period. I don't know what you guys saw out of that.
I mean, I was kind of expecting it, to be honest. Like we all know about the third period comebacks and their seemed to be a trend. And when BU was down 2-0, I didn't feel like they were out of it at all. I pretty much wasn't. I like didn't even write my recap that much of it yet because I knew that BU was going to get at least one goal back, probably two. It wasn't anything unexpected for me.
Yeah, I was just sort of waiting for it to happen. I was taking pictures by ice level during the game, and so I wasn't up with these guys in the press box, but I looked up at the scoreboard like part of the way through the third. It was like 2-0, and I'm like, well,
It didn't feel like 2-0 at all.
yeah, exactly. So, and you could see they were trending towards a goal, so.
I mean, we've seen it so many times the last 2 seasons. They can fall down after the first 2 periods and just have these kind of third periods where they turn it on. And I don't know if it's a good or a bad trend, but I mean, it's better to finish than you start, I guess. So, I mean, they kind of proved that again in the third period. And I thought, when they got that power play in overtime, I thought, you know what, they're going to pull this comeback off and get the
I
win
thought Charlie
officially.
McAvoy was going to get that
Yeah,
goal. It would have been a nauseating
we wanted
narrative.
Charlie McAvoy to score.
Yeah, that would have been the most nauseating
For those
narrative.
who don't know about Charlie McAvoy, he's from Long Island. He's from Long Beach, and he grew up, I believe, a Rangers fan. Newsday did a story on it during the week before Red Hot Hockey, so it would have been kind of a nice little narrative to have the local kid score a goal in his hometown rink. So that'd been pretty cool. But they ended up with a tie officially, but then they got the shootout win. And I think Connor LeCouvet had another
Another silly.
one of his interesting celebrations. I think he's got
Big fan of those.
Yeah.
He's
He's pretty
got a
amped.
he gets those pretty cool ones on the penalty shots and then now the shootout. And he's maybe he's working on some new ones. I guess we'll have to ask him that the next time
Yeah,
we talk
we'll
to
have
him.
to see. But there were other good things to take out of that game. We saw like these guys we've been like begging and waiting for to get a goal. AJ
Right.
Greer, Jordan
Yeah.
Greenway, Bobo Carpenter, just all of a sudden out of nowhere, hey, finally decided to cash in. And that's something that I think we really wanted to focus on talking about this week is that third line with AJ Greer, Bobo Carpenter now centering, and Nick Olson back after he missed a few games with injury.
Yeah.
It's really promising to see them finally cash in at least once.
All three of them touched the puck on that play. It was a great play. Olsen started it along the wing, and Carpenter finishes it off with basically he had a whole net to shoot at wide
Yeah.
open. I just think just kind of the mix of kind of they have like speed and skill with Carpenter in the middle, and you got a little bit of physicality with Olsen on the wing, and the same thing with AJ down low. He brings a lot of force to the some net front presence, and I think it's just kind of a good mix. I think they work well together.
And Coach Quinn liked it so well, he said he's going to keep that same line intact.
Why break up something successful like that?
And he's had to juggle the lines a lot this season, and I think it's good to see
Yeah, I think the
consistently.
way that just Bobo has been playing at center, like as soon as Quinn moved him over, there was just such an improvement at like in his play individually and just that line's play as a whole.
And confidence too,
Yeah.
which we don't want to psychoanalyze too much, but like they
Right.
were playing a lot, just a lot better.
Yeah.
After the game, AJ Greer was complimenting Bobo and saying that he wins draws, which I mean is
Pretty
obviously
important
pretty
for
important.
centermen.
Yeah.
So I think it's good to see, and that's something we're talking about with the game as a whole. It's just like the team's confidence. Like it was a tie, but it felt like a win.
Yeah.
So if anything, that'll have to boost the team's confidence. And if guys like Jordan Greenway and that entire third line have maybe gotten a boost in their confidence, then that means a lot coming into this weekend,
Get
which
the
is,
ball rolling.
yeah, get the ball rolling when they'll need some
Yeah.
wins this weekend.
And I mean, I think if anybody needed a goal more than anyone, probably Jordan Greenway. Yeah, you know, he hasn't scored yet at BU. He hasn't scored in college. And I think, you know, getting a kind of a gritty goal like that right down on the crease off like a little rebound pass right in front of the net, I think if anyone needed it, it was him. And, you know, maybe that gets him going. Because I think I think we all kind of agreed that he did look very good the last couple of weeks. It just kind of not finishing, you know, just kind of just getting close to the net, maybe taking a little too long, deciding if he wanted to shoot or pass.
Yeah.
And he just wasn't getting it done, and you know, finally got it done.
I think that's something Coach Quinn was saying, was that he was getting opportunities and he was almost surprising himself and didn't quite know what to do. And hopefully now that he knows he can score and he is capable of that, then maybe we'll actually see him get some consistent goals, which is what this team needs, I think, from their second line.
It was always kind of funny to watch him because he'd like beat everyone and get down to the net and then be like, and not shoot or do anything.
Yeah, it's good to see.
I think what Quinn said, he was lacking that so-called killer instinct, and maybe we'll finally see him have more of that killer instinct as he goes forward now that he actually has a goal.
And this weekend with Vermont, kind of moving on toward that, I think we're all in agreement, and I know we say this every time, but this is a big weekend, especially with the huge Yale-Quinnipiac weekend coming up. This weekend is kind of almost, I don't want to say need to, but they really need to take advantage of this weekend, home game or home series against a team that has a deceiving record, I'd say. I think 3-9-2. Three wins, but they've played, I think, six games against top 10 opponents. But this is an opportunity where BU definitely can win, and they should win. But I think they almost need to come away with two wins this weekend to stay on track, especially with the big weekend.
What Quinn reiterated to us during his little chat on today about, you know, you just got to focus on this weekend. And I think that's kind of what Nick Olson reiterated to us, that they're just, you know, game planning for this weekend, not trying to look too far ahead. Even though human nature might have it where they look forward and look to those big games. But, I mean, definitely a beatable team in Vermont. But like kind of what Sarah said, record might be a little bit deceiving because they have played some tough opponents. So, you know, Vermont played BU pretty tough last year, and Vermont played two really close games. So, they're a little bit different this year, but they've still got a lot of talent there. So, I wouldn't be surprised. Santa Guida, Puskaric, both the Privateras are both there. Well, so that's always an interesting story. But yeah, I think it's going to be another two close games. It seems like every hockey's game always brings a little excitement.
Especially that team.
Yeah, I mean, they're just a very physical team, and they always seem to be very defensive minded. They always just seem to play BU in these tight games. And I guess it's just the style of play that they're a little bit different than a lot of the other hockey's teams.
It'll be interesting to see, too. We know that Sean McGuire is going to get the start Friday night. I think that'll be interesting to see how he handles that. Maybe a team that isn't quite as offensive-minded.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it's nice to see him play now. That's two out of three games that he'll be playing. He didn't play in Rat Out Hockey, but he played against Bentley. And not that he had a ton of chances against Bentley. He was pretty quiet, but he stopped all the shots that he needed to face. Yeah. So that's important. I think Coach Quinn was talking about how he looked good in practice and he earned the spot. For at least the Friday game, and I think this will be a good proving ground for him. He gets to play a Hockey East team, and it's an important series for BU, so he can really make a name for himself this weekend.
Definitely. I think it's kind of like a second start to his season in a way, just because Connor had started so many games in a row after he had trouble against Merrimack, and so he got the start with Bentley. Now he's starting at Vermont, and Quinn said he hasn't picked a goalie. He can maybe start getting back into his normal role, kind of.
Yeah, and if anything, I think this is a good opportunity for him to kind of maybe get back into it, because this is a team that isn't the most offensive-minded team. So it'll be good. Like, again, I'm not going to say Vermont's at the level of maybe Bentley, but I think it is another team that, like, they won't be getting off as many shots, so he won't be put in as many tough situations. But it's still a big game, still a tough opponent, so I think it's a good kind of segue into maybe some of these tougher games that are coming up.
Right, I think it's a huge confidence booster for him, and you know, he hasn't played all that much the last month or so, and I think this could get the ball rolling for him. And I think, I mean, it's never a problem to have two good goalies play, and so I mean, it'll be a win-win if he plays well for himself and for the team as a whole.
Okay, and for some questions from our readers, mailbag time, I guess we'll say. Question from Ozzy is number 5 ready to play? No.
He is not ready to play.
There's not much more to say than that.
Coach Quinn basically said he's definitely going to be out for Friday, and they're not very hopeful for the entire weekend. So That's all we know. They didn't give us really any sort of timetable on what to expect.
Right. And then another question is from our friend Jason over at the Michigan Daily. He wanted to know, how did you feel about the Michigan beat writers? They're terrible.
No, they're awful. No, I'm just kidding. No, they were great. I mean, Jason and Min, they did a great job. I mean, they flew out all the way from Michigan, and I think they did some good stuff, and they were very entertaining to kind of talk with, and it's a different perspective because we don't always see a lot of student writers that are at Gannis at the home game.
Absolutely. And then Guest wanted to know thoughts on the continuing trend of third period comebacks.
I mean, we kind of touched upon it already, but I mean, again, you'd like to see them get off to a good start rather than kind of relying on these third periods, because at some point, you know, you could wait too long and fall behind too much and end up losing the game. But I mean, like I said before, I think it's a good thing that they're playing so well at the end of the game, because, you know, better to come on strong and win than rather than, you know, than have a horrible third period and blow a lead. But again, I'd rather see them, as most people would say, you'd rather see them play a full 60 minutes. So, you know, maybe they'll clean that up against Vermont. But as we've seen the last 2 years, they really do love these third periods.
Like, you tried Danny at center and it didn't work, at least with the wingers that he had available. And JFK is really good at making them, like, scoring chances. So I don't think it would benefit anyone to separate them or put Danny back at center.
I mean, I don't think Danny's a terrible center, but I think JFK is just that much better. And I think he's probably the best center on the team. He's got great hands, good in all three zones. And I think he just makes everyone better around him. That line started playing a lot better when he jumped up to center, so I don't really see him really making any changes to that. And he said he's definitely not making any adjustments to that third line. Yeah. So if anything,
I don't think depth is an issue.
No, I don't think so either. I don't
especially
really see
if that
too many
third
changes.
Line keeps playing as or right, plays exactly. as well as they did last
That's like
game.
A brand new line. Yeah,
it's a brand new line. That's
adds another dimension to the offense.
Right.
And if Greenway gets going, if Clunan kind of steps back up, he's gotten a little quiet, but I think he's starting to step back up a little bit. And I don't think Matt Lane's a bad second line center at all.
He's fast.
I
mean, he has a lot of speed there.
I don't think depth's the problem at all.
No, not at all. They've got guys that can fill in when they need to.
And then it's just one more question. Any update on Nick Roberto? I know people have been getting kind of antsy in our comment section about this. Not playing this weekend. No updates. Discipline related is all we know on the record. We've heard some rumors, but we aren't going to report anything that we don't have confirmed. Right. Just out of fairness to Nick and out of fairness to the team. It would not be in our best interest to even bring up any of those rumors.
I mean, I think he would add some depth, especially his ability on the third line and penalty kill. I think he does a good job, but you're not going to break up that third line right now with the way they're playing. But, I mean, I think he does add a little bit. I don't know about scoring-wise, but I think he does add a little bit of just, you know, he does, like, little things here and there to make your team better. So, I mean, I don't know who you'd bump out of the lineup right now. Mm-hmm. It'd be a little tough to say right off the bat. I guess it just depends because there have been guys kind of in and out of the lineup with injuries, so maybe he could fill in there. But I mean, like we just said, they do have depth, so it's like not a big issue that he's out of the lineup, but you do kind of miss his, I think, presence on the penalty kill, at least in my mind.
We know Tommy Kelly's going to be playing this week, so I think his coach's confidence is growing in Tommy Kelly, but that bumps out either Chase Phelps or Robbie Belarjian. I mean, I think if you had to replace any of those guys, I would have to say Robbie might be the odd man out at this point. I think that's kind of sad to see. But I think even if Roberto comes back before the end of the semester, which we don't know yet. We don't know at all. Last we heard was coach thinks, this was several weeks ago, he said he thinks that we'll see him before the end of the semester, but we don't have anything definitive at this point.
We're getting pretty close to the end of the
semester. We're getting pretty close
to
the end of the semester.
Hasn't played any game yet.
Hasn't played. So, I mean, if it did get to the point where Roberto came back next weekend, I think, I mean, it obviously depends on how Robbie plays this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, to kind of go back, I think Tommy Kelly, I think he's actually played pretty well.
Yeah,
since Quinn kind of put him back into the lineup the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, we've been not comparing him to...
Not that he's been scoring or doing a ton, like, to help people score, but I think he's, like, just, you know, just, like, kind of just missing. He has had a couple chances, especially against Bentley. I thought he looked really good.
Yeah,
him and Moran looked fantastic, I thought. And I think, you know, he's kind of had an interesting time at BU because he played a lot his freshman year, struggled the 10-win season 2 years ago. And he was usually on, like, one of the top two lines. And now, last year, how many games he played? Like,
four,
one?
Four, I think.
Yeah, he didn't play in very many. And now he's kind of, you know, he's kind of helping out a bit. And I think it's a... it's nice to see him play because you can really see that he's working hard and he's trying to get back into the lineup and he's trying to do the little things to make the hockey team better.
Yeah. I mean, to get back to the point, if Roberto were to come back for the end of the semester, it's hard pressed to, I would feel
it's hard to
bad
say right
for
now.
Any of those guys who might get benched, because I think Chase Phelps definitely, I was honestly surprised to see Chase out. But
yeah,
I mean,
thought Chase had played well.
Chase has been playing well. Robbie's been playing okay. He hasn't done anything bad. He just hasn't really done anything wow worthy.
There are games where you might not like notice him. He's just kind of quiet.
Yeah.
He just doesn't really stand out.
Doesn't have any penalties yet this season.
No. He doesn't really do anything like that's going to really cost your team the game, but he hasn't really done all that much to make your team win.
Yeah.
But
so maybe Roberto would bring
I don't know.
Sport,
just
but...
I know Quinn said that he expected Roberto at some point to play this semester. I just don't get that feeling. Just based on the way this the last couple of weeks have gone.
Especially with such a big win next weekend. I feel
like
shifting
it
around unless something goes drastically wrong this weekend. I don't see him making anything.
Yeah.
Making
do you think
any drastic changes?
Yeah. Confident enough in Nick's ability to bounce back to like play against two top 10 teams on the road.
Right.
Like,
you have
after
to
not playing for the rest of the season.
Right. We have to think you're talking about Roberto coming back into lineup. We haven't even seen him this year. We don't know
what shape.
I'm sure he's been practicing with the team.
He has been practicing.
He's at practice today, but I'm sure he's been practicing most of the time. But we don't know what type of practice
physical
is different.
Shape.
Practice is different than game shape, you know, at least
obviously.
Mentally. So we don't even know what to expect out of him in the game wise. He could be really rusty, so it could take some time.
All right, I think that's all we have for today. So we'll wrap it up, and we will. Hopefully have you guys tune in for our live blog this weekend. Be sure to follow at hockey.dailyfreepress.com.
Thanks for listening.